Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the worship of fellowship here. We thank you for our brand new sister, Adeline, being here up under the word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the parents, Lord God, and I thank you for all those aunties, uncles, grandparents, everybody that had anything to do with the birth of this child. What a wonderful sight to see her beautiful face. And I take the time to just lift her her name up before you, Lord, because she's such a precious jewel. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask that as I decrease, increase in me to teach your people your word, allow me to use all that you've given me to bring about something that people can grab onto. In Jesus' name, we love you, we thank you, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
Say amen out of line. She's beautiful. You guys got to see her. I know the LA churches.
Yeah.
Amen. So we are in Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse starting at verse 21, and the scripture reads, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Now, I got to explain some things, because the first nine chapters of Proverbs, and I got to keep saying this because people just don't know, and every time I have to say this because it kind of sets the tone for you to get the understanding. The first nine books of Proverbs speaks all about wisdom. The beginning of the 10th, it says the Proverbs of Solomon. Now you get his Proverbs, how he tested things, tried things, and found them to be either true or not true, good or not good. So the first nine chapters, he's telling you who wisdom is, where she came from, how God used her to create the earth, blah, 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 blah. And yes, he does call her a her, simply because when women give birth, they always give birth to something beautiful. So at the end of us allowing wisdom in our lives, it births something beautiful in your life. It will change everything. See? And so he uses that. And then now he's going into his, if you do it like this, you have that. If you do it like that, you have that. And I wish more people would read this book and really get an understanding of what he's saying, because that seems to cut out a whole lot of new ageism. It cuts out a whole lot of manipulation. It cuts out a whole lot of things when you see pastors trying to do stuff that ain't of God. It cuts out a whole lot of foolishness in the church, because it's actually showing you how wisdom does not play with all those other areas. And so that's where we are. So 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. Let me explain that. The lips of the righteous, those who have chosen to do right. Once you find the right path and you're following the right way, then your lips will feed many. Many people will gravitate towards you to get fed by what you say. There's a lot of people who think they have the right way. And please don't get offended, because this is not targeted towards anybody, because we all got a story, okay? But there's a lot of people out there who figure they have the right way. And a lot of times, I'm thinking about brothers that used to be in the men's home in L.A., and I hope they're not listening, but if they are, if it's Yoshi, you just got to wear it. So they would always say, well, I think this is better to do this. And even to this day, I have friends that call me who have doctored the reason, say, I think it's better that you do it like this. And I'm saying, okay, well, I was on drugs and I was on alcohol and I have been doing this like this. And God has not rebuked me for doing it this way. And it seems to work. People seem to change their lives. See? And so if it ain't broke, why fix it? So I do it the way that God's given me to do it, but they have a different way of doing it. And I say, all you got to do is sit down that doctorate and go out there and get a church. You will discover from your mouth, when you're following the right way, you will discover what is right and what is wrong. It cannot be a theory. It cannot be something you just think about, because we can sit, listen, our brain, and this finite way of thinking, because it's limited in thinking. God is infinite. We are finite. Our brain can sit back and concoct all kinds of things, and it looks good in theory. But even the scientist has enough sense to go, let me check the theory. I have a theory, but let me put it to the test. Well, when it comes to things of God, whenever you're out there and you're speaking, get you a following of people who will follow your way, the way you're teaching. Because people is the corrector. People is the defining line. if your lips are speaking what you call righteous, and people say, but I don't understand that, and then you sit down and go toe-to-toe, you'll find out that maybe what you just said is not all that righteous. See, they will define the line for you. But when you've had time to do it, and you've done it, I remember when I first started preaching, I would say some things that I've heard from other preachers, you know, and that's an old slave mentality thing. Because the blacks back in the day, when we were slaves, we could not go into the white churches, the Southern Baptist churches. And so the preacher, the black preacher, would sit outside the window of the church and listen to what the preacher was saying. And then when he come to teach his congregation, he would say, I heard, that's where all that humming and stuff came in. I heard, because he heard from another preacher what was being preached. And that's how all that came into play in the beginning. But you could hear and be wrong. When you get before people and start putting it to the test, you'll find out how right it is. Yeah, because that's it just works like that. Don't we find that in our own lives? How many times have you thought the direction you were going was right? And then once you start going that direction, you find out, oh, this wasn't the right choice. See, pros and cons. That's how we learn. And so this is saying the same thing, saying the lips of the righteous feed many. When you're right and it's on target and it's by God's word, it will feed a whole lot of people. You don't have to worry about it because it's not your words. It is God's word. And God says, my word will not go out and come back onto me void. Mm-hmm. So if it's God's word and you're teaching God's word, it's going to go and it's going to touch somebody somewhere. And they may not even realize it till years later. You remember Brother Troy? Mm-hmm. He was one of the brothers in the church. I know L.A. remembers him, and he died, but that was our brother. And he said, for years, I was going to church, and I was getting with this girl, getting with this girl, and getting with that girl, and getting with this girl, and getting with that girl. And then one of the deacons came to me and said, you're not impressing me. And he said, what are you talking about? I'm in the church, and I got girls. He said, you get one girl and stick with her and make her happy. Then you'll show me what kind of man you are. And he said it took him 20 years for that to sink in. It was a true word. The man told him the absolute truth. It came straight from God. But it took him 20 years to get it. You see what I'm saying? And once he followed that path, he was pretty good. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes when God's word goes out, you may not pick it up right away. But if you heard it, it's not going to come back to God void. People say, how does that happen? I just spoke a word, but I also heard that word. It went out, but it came back to me. Every time God speaks, it comes back to him. Every time you speak, it comes back to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if it's going out, and it's coming back, and it's going to accomplish. And the end of that says it will accomplish exactly what it's supposed to do from the beginning. You have God's promise of that. So if you're speaking God's word to people, that is the righteous way. If you're speaking what is right before people, you would see fruit and benefits of it growing in other people's lives. You will see it. If you do not see it, then maybe you need to think about teaching something different. See? Evidence. The word of God is backed up by evidence. See? It's backed up by evidence. Mm-hmm. See? And you will see long the fruit don't just come and get on a tree and stay green and then fall to the ground. Fruit stays and it gets ripe and nice and tasty and ready to pluck and then it falls to the ground. You hear what I'm saying? So that means that fruit that you give that you see on a person is spend some time with that person. Mm. And then the second part of that says, but fools die, excuse me, but fools die from want of wisdom. I have a congestion problem. It's not a flu thing. I'm just having a hard time up in here. I usually have all the windows open. And, you know.
That wind is.
Yeah. And you know, I got that extra. So anyway, for fools die for want of wisdom. So the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. A man that cannot get to the place where he is seeing the wisdom of how to correctly, effectively do something or operating a certain way is a fool. The Bible calls him a fool. Or calls her a fool. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Isn't that the meaning of insanity? To keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, but never changing nothing. That's foolish. And then it brings you to the place. Who's more foolish? The fool himself or the fool that follows the fool? People ain't that stupid. They're not going to be the fool that follows no foolishness. See, that's why lips have got to be right. 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He added no sorrow with it. When God blesses you, it makes you rich. It increases you. Mm-hmm. Now, people could go financially if you want to, but the word of God, the Bible says, is health to your bones. Mm-hmm. It's like marrow to your bones. It strengthens you. And all of us who read the word of God know that you can be having a really bad day and read the word of God and come up. All of a sudden, you don't even know where it came from. You're just feeling good. Or you can have a bad day and haven't read some word previously, and it comes up on you because, you know, stuck something in the bank. And now you remember that word and you say, you know what? You're right. I didn't even sweat this. And you keep on moving. See, and he added no sorrow to it. You don't have to be sorry for it. You don't have to apologize for it. He adds no sorrow to it. There is no ill feeling with it when it's from God. You may have to deal with ill circumstances. You may have to deal with ill people, but your direction is sure. You know which way you're going. He's not going to back up off that. God will not repent from the truth. It's never going to happen. That's how you know you have truth. 23. It is as sport for a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. It's fun. It's like a game for people to do mischievous things. See? They play around with it. Have you ever had somebody just pick it at you for no reason? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's funny at first, but then after a while, you keep hitting that same spot, then it becomes irritating. And you're like, you know. But that's what a mischievous person does. A person who tries to set other people up for their own sport. It's for their own fun. It's for their own pleasure. It's for their own enjoyment. It's not good. It's not good. The Bible calls that man a fool or that woman a fool. It says, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Why wouldn't you understand that you could take a man or a woman to a bad place by your games, by your much joking? Have you ever said something that you was just in jest and somebody got offended? I have. How many times does it have to happen for you to understand, listen, I need to cut my little clown out. You understand what I'm saying? And so, as always, Solomon is speaking simple things. As he comes up with them, you can see how they apply to everyday life. It says in 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Fear and desire. Fear and desire. What makes a person afraid or what makes a person respect? And you have to deal with fear in those two areas. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. But some people take fear and they take it to the other side. There's a dark side to it. And that's where you become afraid. See? It's uncomfortable.
No, I was about to sneeze, sir.
Oh, go ahead.
It went away.
Oh, that's the worst.
Okay. And so, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Whatever he is afraid of, because he's afraid, mm-hmm. it's going to come upon him. Mm-hmm. It's like when you get fearful of stuff, it'll come to you in a dream and scare you. It still came upon you. It'll come to you in reality. I think Job said that. My greatest fear has come upon me. You hear what I'm saying? Because fear has no place in the face or in the heart of people that love God. You don't have to be afraid of anything. The Bible says that if you was wise, that you would fear the one who is not only able to destroy your body, but also able to destroy your soul. That's God. And he has given you his word that he loves you. He will not do that to you. See, and people don't understand that. Bad stuff happens to good people. Most time, bad stuff happens to good people to teach them the lesson so they can grow from it. And mostly if they have ministry in that area where they're going to be ministering to people who have issues like that. So you may have to see some things or go through some things or get an understanding of things so that you can have the wisdom to deal with people. Or people just come up and do things to you unnecessarily and you learn. From that, you learn the kind of person not to deal with. You learn things. Every opportunity is a learning, but we don't want to be afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of learning. Don't be afraid of getting it. Bad stuff often happens to bad people. I mean, to good people. It don't just happen to bad people. But it's only bad stuff because we consider it bad. If we see it for what it is, then we see that it is God, or it may be the testing of our faith, mm-hmm. or the trying of our faith. Or maybe it's just time for you to call out on God. Because unfortunately, we don't set up a regular prayer time or regular study time with God like we should. And so if he's missing his time with you, then maybe he needs to shake some stuff up in your life so that you'll cry out to him. Because mm-hmm. that seems like that's the only thing. If that's who you are and that's the only time you cry to God when stuff is bad, then you have set yourself up. Because now life has got to be bad for you because that's the only time you cry out to God. Can you understand what I'm saying? God will allow that to happen in your life and allow no danger and harm to come up on you because that's the only time you talk to him. So you want to freely open up a door and meet him in a place that's safe and secure. It's called the secret place where it's just him and you and you're talking. You want to open up that door. So that he don't have to bring fear, desolence, don't create pestilence, don't create anything upon your life so that you'll call out and cry to him. It's amazing how when we're sick and we're on our back, how the only position you could do is look up. See, people never think about that. Why did this happen to me? Why did it? Well, when the last time you talked to God? Well, I believed him when I was a child. Well, look, you're 30-something years old. Don't you think you need to talk to God? You probably could have avoided this had you opened your mouth and spoke to God. You see what I'm saying? So there's all kind. It is wise to desire the righteous thing. The last part it says, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So if your desire is of righteousness, who has the righteousness? Is righteousness in me? No. Is righteousness in you? No. Is righteousness in Christ? Yes. So if you desire the righteousness of Christ, if you desire him, then why wouldn't you spend time? I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what's been done. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you do tomorrow. People get too caught up in trying to make people right according to their eyes. I keep telling the church, you need to stop. You need to let people walk the journey that they need to walk. God came to earth. Do you know why Christ came to earth? So that he could be in the midst of people's mess. Mm-hmm. Do you need? She needs anything?
No, we're good.
Okay. So that he can be in the midst of people's mess. He does not just want to be your God and having the mountaintop experiences. Mm-hmm. That's not what he wants. He wants to be your God when you're in the valley low, mm-hmm. when you're going through your struggle. See, people that learn how to call on God in their struggle get out of their struggles pretty quick. See, and then he can use wisdom and show you how not to fall back into that trap. But the devil's trick is to make you think, oh, man, I've sinned. I can't even talk to God. I got to get done with this. So now you're trying to fix sin. When the last time I checked, it took Christ to die on Calvary's cross to fix sin. I think sometimes we're too worried about sin. We need to be more worried about getting with God, being in fellowship with him, because you know in fellowship with him is the absence of sin. When you're in fellowship with God, there is no sin. Sin can't even touch you. It can't even approach you. It can't even deal with you because you're dealing with God. Yeah. You're dealing with God. So when God becomes who your desire is, when your desire, that righteousness shall be granted. You're going to get it. Amen. The desire of the righteous is going to be granted. Amen. But it said, the first part says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. That very fear is going to turn upon you. See? But if you're doing it in God's way, you're following that righteousness, I guarantee you, no matter where you are. And y'all already know where I've been. I don't need to give my testimony. So don't sit there and tell me you can't follow God in sin. I was under the bridge smoking crack and reading the Bible. So you can't tell me. 10 years later, when I went back, everybody that was under there that called me a hypocrite was still up under the bridge smoking crack. I had been delivered. So you can't tell me you cannot invite God into your negative circumstances. God is bigger than your negative circumstances. Amen. He's more glorious than that. And so just because you think he's holy, but he came down in the form of his son so that he will be able to go wherever you go. Do be there to speak to you whenever you are in your trouble, wherever you're in the phone. God will meet you in the crack house, in the, I don't even know what they call it, fentanyl houses. I don't know what they call them there. But, huh? So trap house. Yeah. He'll be right there wherever you are, wherever you will allow him to come in your life. There's no place that he cannot come. He will come in the pits of it. He went to hell to save us. So if he went to hell, took the keys from the devil, jumped the great gulf fix to save us, is there any place on this earth that he will not go? No, there is not. Not if you cry out for him. Amen. And that's the problem. We seem to think that we have to separate our sin from God instead of letting God separate us from our sin. Mm. Big difference. Big difference. Because when he does it, it's done. Mm. See, when you do it, you're going to keep going back to it. Mm. You talking to the master of that. I know that. From my own experience. But when I finally turned it over to him, woo, I got free. And I have not looked back. Thank you, Lord. See, now I got to deal with all the other stuff that I didn't turn over to him. Right. But I had to get rid of that first so I could see clearly. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked. No more. Just as that whirlwind passes by, it's blowing, and it's gone. So is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. What God has set up in you through righteousness will stand throughout the test of time. This is why I don't understand why there's so many different understandings of God's word. It doesn't need to be. See, whenever someone has an understanding that does not line up to this word, that's only because they didn't study. They studied, someone else told you. You studied it from their perspective, but you have not developed a relationship with God yourself, because God will talk to you yourself. He will show you yourself. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. But we don't let the Holy Spirit teach us. We go to Dr. whoever that is, Bishop Flip Flat, and all these other people. We go to all these other people trying to get something, and I'm guilty myself. That's why I don't do it. I listened to a whole lot of preachers as to how I was supposed to do things when I first came to God. See, and was down wrong. And when I say, why do I keep falling into this down wrong position? I'm supposed to be living upright. But I keep falling into this down wrong because I'm listening to men. And so I opened up the book and started developing a relationship, because back in that day, you didn't bring your Bible to church. And they looked at me like I was crazy because I started bringing my Bible to church. I need to check what you're telling me.
Let me see.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I had questions for them afterwards. They telling me stuff. Oh, really? I don't see that. This is what I see. Oh, well, you're growing to, okay, well, I'm going to follow what I see out of the word of God, because when the word says, and I know what that dictionary says that means. When the world says the, I know what the dictionary says that means. When the word says pass, I know what the dictionary says that word means. So, and being someone who is an educator myself and have always taught people, you know, I have a more understanding of what words mean than the average person. So you can't just come up to me and give me your spiel and expect me to buy it because it sounded good and felt good. And it made all the women say, oh, he preaching now. Okay, I don't want to hear nothing about that. I got my Bible. That is not what this book said. You do you, but don't bother me from doing me. That's how I developed a relationship with God, because they were just lying out their teeth. Sneaking, creeping, freaking demons. I'm sorry I got upset. Lord, help me. Ooh, wash me. No, because I just follow the lies, and I get so mad at me for doing that. Anyway, 26. As vinegar to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Do you know how vinegar is? How to make that, like that scratching glass? Like somebody scratch it, set your teeth on it, you be like, you know what I'm talking about. And then smoke in your eyes, you can't see clearly. See? That's how a sluggard. A sluggard is a person that's lazy to them that send him. If someone sends somebody to do something and they take forever to do it, or they keep trying to create a new way to do something because they done messed up and they don't want to go back and tear it down and start over, we ain't gonna stick there, but we're gonna move past that. And so it's costing the people that are sending you more money, more time, more effort, because you don't want to do what you said you want to do, because you're just lazy, because you don't want to sit back and think. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a plan to succeed, you are going to fail. Where's the plan for your life? I don't care where you are. I set my plan in the crack house. I was in the crack house, and I said I was going to devote this time to hear from God. Fred Price was on TV, and I liked him. And so I paid time for that. That little 30 minutes helped change my life. Then after the crack house, I had to go to the bridge. And then I started opening up the Bible, studying some of the things that he said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I made a plan that I was going to figure out who this God is, period. And that was my plan.
That's a good plan.
Anytime you choose God, it's a good plan. But where's our plan? Are we setting plans? Because once I got married, then I had to set another plan. Then when we had a kid, I had to set another plan. And then when I became the pastor of church, I had to set another plan. What is the plan? Stop thinking. Listen, my brother and sister just had a beautiful baby. Now, I know they have a plan for educating this kid. See? You got to have a plan. But some parents don't even set plans. I'm not going to educate my kid at all. He'll get what he get. He'll learn. If that's your plan, look at the children that came up under that. They're failing in life. See? And even if that's where you come from, that don't have to be you. Mm-hmm. You could change that anytime. Now that you know to do better, do better. You could change that in life anytime. Because some of them is just so smart. Don't even study. Go to school and make straight A's. He just killed me. Good one right there. He don't even take the, he come and just take the test and get A's. I was close to it, but I wasn't there. Some of the parents don't even see how intelligent their kids is. Maybe because they're trapped up in stuff. It doesn't matter. The kid needs to know, and he needs to set a plan for his life. He needs to set a direction for his life. Now you're in God. Where's your direction? The pastor can't set that for you. Can't nobody set that for you. You know where you are. Start in small increments and just set something. Be faithful to that and then let God increase. He is the God of increase. He will increase that. And he will increase that. Then he'll start to show you things. And he'll show you more and show you more. Next thing you know, before you know it, the old you, you don't even recognize who you are. See? It only took him 6 years to do it on me. People say, oh, yeah, that's a long time. No, I made my decision. It took me 3 years to find that lady so I could go to the men's home, and then I stayed in that men's home 3.5 years. When I came out, I didn't even recognize who I was. I liked the new me. I wouldn't know me no more. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so I didn't plan to do 6 years. You hear what I'm saying? But it took me to just get right in my mind 3 years just to get to the place where I could get to a place that would help me go the rest of the way. See, and that was all part of God's plan. My plan was just God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the sluggard, if he doesn't have a plan, his laziness is always going to just be like vinegar to the teeth and smoking eyes to the person that sent him. I send you to do something, I expect it to be done. If it's a job that takes 3 days, I expect it to be done in 3 days. You need a little more time, that's fine. But when you start racking up money that I got to pay for, no, now you're doing me a disservice. But when it comes to getting paid for your job, you want every dime of yours, right? See, you would think differently if I was taking from you. See, wouldn't you think differently if I was taking your money and you was paying me? Of course you will. Well, dude, you sitting up here sitting over here drinking soda pop and eating these big old hoagie sandwiches, taking your shoes off, scratching your behind, when you could be out there working. And this is costing me money. This ain't costing you. You understand what I'm saying? So, and that is not going against anybody. I'm just using the analogy of the Bible. It says in 27, oh, I'm way past time. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord prolongeth your days. By respecting him, you have prolonged your life. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You only have a little time that God's going to put up with your wickedness. Mm-hmm. See? So you better be getting planned. It says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. When you have hope and your way is the righteous way, you shall be glad. You shall find happiness. Mm-hmm. You shall find peace. There's no other way that Amen. It can happen because your direction is right.
Facts.
See? But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. It is expected that a wicked man dies. It is expected that his legacy dies. It is expected that when he dies, he's not remembered no more. It is expected that he go to hell. See, because he's a wicked man. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, for those who are upright. I mentioned upright before. If you're not upright, you're down wrong. And people defend being down wrong nowadays. They defend it with everything they got. You can't tell me nothing. You hear what I'm saying? They defend it. They wrong. They down wrong. They know it. But it is the spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft. Mm-hmm. 2 Samuel 15:23. See, it is witchcraft. It definitely is. And so it says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? Anybody remember? It's sin, but what kind of sin?
Is it like falling short?
No, it's the very root of sin. Mm. It's the very thing that holds on to you. It's like a stronghold. It won't let you go. And even though you cut it down and you don't see it rising up no more because you didn't pluck it out by the root. See, you can't pluck it out. You got to let God pluck that root out.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Because he's the vine dresser. You got to let him pluck that out. When you let him pluck it out, then you ain't got to deal with it no more. That's true repentance. That's why the Bible says godly sorrow brings about repentance.
And the goodness of God leads
him. You better know it, brother. You better know it. He goes on to say, in 30, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. So the righteous shall never be removed. I don't care what happens to the earth. I don't care what happens to the situation. I don't care what happens with Trump. I don't care what happens with Biden. I don't care what happens with Democrats. I don't care what happens with Republicans. I don't care. The righteous of this world will never be removed. You have God's promise. And that's why people say, who are you voting for? I'm voting for God. Well, you should be a Democrat. I'm not no Democrat. I can't be a Democrat. And God says it's an abomination for abortion. He says it's an abomination for the LGBT. Yeah, I said it. It's an abomination. Now, that don't mean I don't love them any less. I love all people. But just like I had to get rid of crack, you got some stuff you got to get rid of. You may not be able. God is able. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But so I can't vote that in. If that's your platform, I can't vote for you. You see what I'm saying? I said this before, I'm going to say it again. Let me tell you about the white church in America. I've said it before, and I keep saying it over again, because sooner or later, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you again. In other words, again, again, I tell you. The white church in America left the kingdom of God when they started ignoring the Jim Crow laws and started the Southern Baptist Conference. See, the black church in America left God when they start becoming cultural. It's all about culture. It's all about our blackness and how can we do this. See, whenever you choose something different than God, you set up a kingdom. You set up an icon against yourself. You can't do that. God says, bring my kingdom down from heaven to earth. Live kingdom. I can't even get to the place where I could teach kingdom living. Because I'm too busy dealing with all these other things that's in the way. That's the whole purpose. If you notice the parables that Jesus talked about, he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto that. I want to get to those teachings where I can start teaching people kingdom living, how Christ says we should be living up on earth, how Christ says we should be acting, how we can look out and see the kingdom. I can't even get there because I got to keep going back to set certain principles in place so that you'll be able to see that, so that we all be able to see that. You see what I'm saying? Because our job here on earth, God saved us so that we can manifest his kingdom upon this earth. You were not saved for no other reason. You were saved to bring the kingdom, God's will, the kingdom down from heaven and let it be done upon this earth. That's the purpose that we were saved. And you can flip the scriptures, turn the scriptures. I'm sorry. You will never find another reason. Every time God came against a nation, every time God came against any people, every time it's because his will was not being done. His will is the kingdom. See, ain't no other way. Handle it, baby. And so when we do like that, and we start searching for the kingdom, then we start to see a better picture of God. Then that defines, you hear what I'm saying? What the laws is and what the laws is. You cannot fight the laws that exist from the place of the presidency. You must fight the laws from the place of city voting, state voting. That's where you allow certain things or disallow certain things. It never gets to the place where the president can even run for that if it didn't exist on a city level or a state level. That's where you do your fighting. You don't like the school systems? Then how many Christians are standing up at the school systems fighting? Very few. If you change it in your city, then you change it in your state. If you change it in your state, then you change it in the world. That's the way the system works. And we don't even show up for voting. I've been asked people since I've been here, when is the voting? Where is this? Where is that? Don't nobody even know. People I've talked to don't even know. I had to go somewhere. I had to go to the post office and find out what was going on. Because everybody's just walking around enjoying life, just oblivious. Isn't it amazing that that's the same way they're doing it? People don't even want to show up to church. People don't want to even get the word. People don't even want to know God. And he's going to bring judgment upon this place. You don't get to do that. His will is going to be done. If you won't do it, Jesus already told you, if you don't praise God, the rocks themselves will cry out and praise God. He is going to be praised. See, it's going to happen. I don't want no rock crying out for me. It is going to happen. Oh, Lord, 40 minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord God. I ask you in the name of Jesus just to bless it, Lord God. I got a little long-winded, and I ask forgiveness. Father, in the name of Jesus, just move sovereignly on everybody that hears this and bless them in the name of Jesus. Let this word permeate their hearts and their minds, Lord God, and let us come to a place where we surrender to your will. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And all those that agreed said, amen.
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 One, make you kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking off some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
Yeah.